Hey everybody, it's good to see you all again. This segment is just to kind of let you guys know what is going on in this episode. So, in this episode, there is a situation towards the end, or anywhere in this episode, there is a blank. That means there is no sound coming in the episode, and you might think that is your fault. That is my fault. You can blame me, say it was my fault, because that is editing problem, and that's because of recording and the recording platform that I use. If that happens to be in the episode, if that's in it, what you need to do is to just disregard it. Don't worry about it. Consider it like an ad break. Consider it like a break. Consider it like we're taking a 5 minute break. Consider it like that. So no freaking out. No need to worry. Make sure you guys enjoy the episode. Enjoy what's in it. And y'all have a good one and enjoy this one. Really enjoy it and have fun. And please disregard the blanks in there, consider them breaks. Hope you guys enjoy this episode and thank you guys for understanding and for your cooperation.
Hey, there we go. Hey, everybody, I am back. I am hustling through these interviews on a late afternoon on Saturday, so I'm really a superhero. Anyway, I am here with Left Field, or some of you who's, really into Rap Head. You know him as Echo. But anyway, this is a really, this could be really, really amazing interview. I've heard his, musical pieces and they are amazing. And he's incredible, so I cannot wait to actually be doing this. So welcome finally on here. I'm so happy to have you here.
Thank you. Thank you. Thanks for having me. It's good to be here.
Definitely, definitely. So I wanted to kind of touch base on this. One of the things that I did wanted to touch base on is you are actually finishing up your third album as The Moth. So I definitely want to ask about that album that's going on, The Moth. So how's that album going? If you wanted to share anything about it.
Yeah, I'm finishing up my third album. It's going to be called Saint Elmo's Fire. It's the whole process of making it has been pretty much the opposite of making my last two albums, because first couple albums I made them in a pretty short period of time, just kind of knocked them out, did them, and then released them. And I was sort of anticipating doing that for this project. I even started work on it as soon as I finished my second one, which was like a year and a half ago, something like that. But I just, for one reason or another, kept on the sound I was looking for kept changing, and I kept not being satisfied. And it's taken, man, like I'd say about 18 months to get to this place now where I'm almost finished with it. I'm just finishing up some of the final tracks and some mixing and mastering and waiting on a feature.
Oh, I see, I see. Well, that's really cool. Congrats on the album. I cannot wait, for it to come out. I'm really, really excited. Especially the name alone. Like, the name alone, it's like, oh, it's really interesting.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm
I
kind of.
wish I could tell you it meant something. It more just kind of I don't know. Most of my project titles are gibberish that sort of aesthetically fits.
That makes a lot of sense, actually. I have seen you on and off, like, posting about the beats you make, so I'm not really surprised at all.
Sure, yeah, I mean, especially with beats, because if I'm just making like a bunch of those and just pumping them out over and over again, and I have to name every single one, it can get pretty, you have to kind of get creative with it. So sometimes I'll just come up with the most absurd, nonsensical sentence I can think of and just name a beat that.
Really? Wow. So what's been the most absurd name that's, you know, ever been made, like, from a beat or a song?
That's a good question. Got to think about that. There's one I made recently called Aerial LiDAR Imaging. It's named after a sort of technique used to map out geography, I guess.
Oh.
I'm also working on a beat tape at the moment that's called Oracle Bone Script, which is named after Proto-Mandarin characters from 1,000 years ago.
Oh, that's even more exciting. You got this going with your band, and now you got the beat tape going on. I mean, how are you able to handle doing things so solely, you know, as an artist and working with a band? Like, how do you do it?
Right, yeah. Well, I guess fortunately and unfortunately, most of the time I'm not able to actively make music with my band, since most of the members in the band either live, well, on the other side of the country or just hours away, so we have to wait until we're all back home for, say, winter break or summer or something like that, and then we can get together and practice and rehearse and stuff like that. But as for handling multiple projects at once, it has definitely been somewhat stressful in the past. Specifically with last summer, we were trying to finish the band's album, and also I was trying to finish my own solo album, St. Elmo's Fire, at the same time. Neither of which happened by the end of the summer. However, they are almost done at this point. But I try and stay well-rounded in what I'm doing. If I've been sort of playing with the band and just jamming on the guitar for making guitar music for a while, then I might get a bit burnt out on that, and I'll just gravitate more towards FL Studio and just making a bunch of beats, just to get into a kind of different creative headspace. I'd say I'm always doing something, but I certainly get burnt out on one specific thing, but then I just shift it to a different venture.
Oh, I see. And about the distance thing with the band, I mean, that's actually understandable when you look at it. I mean, is that the biggest challenge when you're working with the band's distance, or is there an even more challenging factor when it comes to actually, you know, working with the group?
Well, I'd say nowadays that's the biggest hurdle of ours, but we formed the band in late 2019 when it was me and two other founding members, and two of us didn't know how to play instruments at the time. So the fact that we just kind of kept going until we eventually decided to try and learn an instrument, I didn't have great faith in the band, to be honest with you, but then we incorporated a drummer friend of ours who's just an incredible drummer. He's a lefty and he's self-taught, so his rhythms are just very fluid and just organic and just unlike anything I've really heard. And we also brought in our, I wouldn't say classically trained, but jazz-trained pianist who's been playing for over a decade, a friend of ours. And I'd say the biggest hurdle starting out was we all have very different ideas of what we wanted to do and what sounds we were going for, and it took a while for us to kind of merge them into something we could all agree on. But I'd say in the past year or so, we've managed to do that. But unfortunately, we don't have much capacity to continue experimenting while, say, school is in season.
Oh, yeah. I feel that for sure. But at least, you know, at least y'all get the music going and you guys still are able to make projects. I mean, at least y'all got that going on. So at least that's something.
Definitely, yeah. And the project is finished and should be releasing on the 19th.
Ooh, the 19th. I'm going to mark my calendar right now.
Yeah.
Nice. Well, I'm super excited for that to come out, so you can count on me to be one of the first listeners.
Right on. Appreciate that.
And I also wanted to talk about something you also mentioned, is that you do have stuff in the works with Polo Boyas now. I really want to know if you want to share anything about the upcoming project, because I've interviewed him, so I'm very, very curious to see what y'all got in store as far as, you know, music. So what really is that project, and how did you end up working with him?
Yeah, I mean, yes, I've known that guy for years. We've been talking about making a collaborative beat tape since we were probably like 13. It took us this long to get around to it. We didn't even really solidify this idea until yesterday, honestly. We just started messaging, deciding, all right, I think we should finally just do it and make a beat tape together, you know? And we started exchanging just samples and drum patterns that we created. And I think it's starting to come together in a sort of I think a vision is definitely emerging here, and we've landed on the name, the collaborative name, Dead Moths, because that's a, you know, portmanteau of not dead and the moths. I can't say too much more, because honestly, it is in its early stages, but I anticipate it will be finished within the next few months.
Oh, nice. Well,
but one thing we were talking about, though, because we originally were wanting this to be a beat tape, and it will be a beat tape, but we're thinking about featuring artists on it, you know, just getting verses or choruses from people we know, just to have some vocal features on it.
Oh, well, that'll be exciting. I can't wait to see what kind of features y'all got. It's gonna be real exciting for sure. But overall, though, I am very excited for y'all's project to come out in a few months, and you know, that's really great. Anyway, before I lose my breath, I definitely want your take on collaborating and working with different artists. So when you are working with different artists, different producers, what is your method? How do you go about, you know, collaborating and getting these people to work with you?
You know, I was just thinking about that yesterday, because of this project with Yaz. I realized that a lot of times when I go into a collaboration with someone, I'll try to consciously sort of lean towards their sound or emulate them in a sense. So when I was gonna send some stuff to Yaz, I started trying to sort of make a Polar Boy Yaz kind of sound or kind of beat. but it wasn't really coming together how I wanted it to, and I ended up sending him a few things that I had made previously without him in mind at all. It was just, you know, something I made in my own style, and he made something with that, and it was awesome, and it, you know, blended, I'd say, our two styles together. So I think I'm becoming more aware of holding my own in a collaboration, because you absolutely want to, you know, meet in the middle in some aspects when you're collaborating. But I'd say one of the most beautiful things about collaboration is the sort of emergent, the new emergent sound that comes out of two distinctly different sounds. You know, like there's my beats and there's Polar Boy Yaz's beats, and when you smash them together, it kind of creates the whole new, the whole different dimension to it, I suppose.
Ah, I see. Interesting points for sure. Interesting. And it's really cool you're developing and, you know, growing in a sense of, you know, collaborating. And that's something I wanted to really get into, because you are working with different groups of people. So I really thought I would touch base on that. So, you know, thanks for being honest with me.
Yeah, definitely. And with, in the context of, say, like a band, collaboration takes on a somewhat different form, since it's, you're playing instruments, you know, in the moment together at the same time. There's not much room for sitting down and thinking about it. You sort of have to just react in the moment. And, yeah, I've found that in that kind of setting, especially, you can sort of, the boundaries between each individual parts kind of dissolves a little more so than if, say, I'm just sitting at a laptop making a beat to, or part of a beat to send to someone.
Oh. Yeah, that's totally understandable for sure. And again, very valid points, definitely. And another thing that I wanted to touch on as far as, you know, collaborating yourself is I want to know methods when it comes to actually, you know, making beats, or, you know, what's your whole creative process when it comes to making anything that you make, you know, beats or songs or even writing? Like, what is your whole creative process when it comes to that?
Right, I'd say I usually answer that question that my philosophy for music is throw shit at a wall until something sticks, which basically I've definitely tried all sorts of different creative approaches, but I've found what works best for me is to not put too much weight or stock into what I'm currently doing musically. I can definitely have hopes that it will turn out good, but when I'm making a beat or when I'm writing a song or playing guitar, I found it really doesn't help to have in my head that this needs to be amazing, this needs to be my best beat, this needs to be groundbreaking, this needs to be amazing, because when I do have that in my head, then I'm just faced with the pressure of it all, and I'm not really in that creative headspace. But say when I'm bored and I just open up FL Studio, then just drag in some random sounds and start messing with them, then 10 minutes later, it sort of just clicks, and I threw shit out a wall until something stuck, and then that thing that stuck, kind of just narrow in on that and try and expand on it, I guess.
Oh, no worries.
Sorry about that.
But yeah, that's very true.
Yeah.
Moreover, my creative process, I can only really speak for myself, but my creative process is more short form, I suppose. I I usually never spend more than... I'd say I usually spend less than an hour on the average beat. Sometimes it can go over, but it's usually not very long, and I usually try not to be a perfectionist about things, because I just nitpick into oblivion until I just ruin it. So I usually try and get to a place where I feel it's good, but I try not to touch it once I feel like touching it will just sort of make the pieces fall apart.
Oh. Yeah, perfect. Yeah. That's the thing that's really hard to do, is definitely perfecting. I mean, if you keep on perfecting, yeah, you make a very good point about that. But yeah, you do take an interesting approach when it comes to, you know, making music, which I applaud you for, because you're following your own creative process, which is all cool, it's all great. Now, I definitely want to touch more into that process. I mean, for you, what is the most challenging when you're making music or beats just yourself?
The most challenging thing is, I'd say, capturing the right headspace, I suppose. There's just some days where I'll open up FL Studio and I'll do all the same things I usually do, put some drums in a way that I think will sound good, and it just doesn't work. And no matter how hard I try, it just isn't coming together. And there's sometimes just days like that, and I can never really tell if it's me or if it's just like bad luck, but I've been trying to, over the past year and a half, a big problem with, a big issue I was running into with this album of mine was, I guess, creative block. I wasn't quite sure how I wanted to express these ideas. I'd say I've found a way around that at this point, but one of my biggest issues or struggles with making music has always been, I'll figure out one way to, one approach of making a beat or a song, then I'll do that, then I'll run that into the ground until it just doesn't sound good anymore when I try it. Then I have to figure out a whole new way of approaching it, and that can sometimes be an issue, because the more logic I try to apply to it, it seems the further I get from my goal. So I think I've been learning to just kind of try to, like I said earlier, not put so much weight into what I'm currently doing.
Definitely, and I do admire your philosophy on not putting too much weight. I mean, I feel like that's really important, you know, when it comes to, you know, actually creating, is to not put too much weight, you know. I have seen artists put so much into, like, a track, and
This is coming from, you know, a place of experience. I certainly have put way too much weight into what I'm doing. And it's just, I mean, it just sends you into a spiral, you know. Nothing you do will quite reach that mark you're looking for.
Very, very true points, definitely. For sure. No further comment. Anyway, another thing that I wanted to ask about was the name. Now, I wanted to ask how you got all three names. Because I love Echo,
right,
I love the name Left Field, and I love the Mots. I'm actually surprised by the Mots, you know, I thought somebody would have taken that name.
Technically, someone did, except there's an exclamation point after it, and there's some, like, kind of obscure band from the 80s. So I'm just kind of crossing my fingers on that one. But as for the origins of those names, I'll start with Echo. I came up with Echo. That was my name I came up with that when I was probably 12 or something. I was really into Eminem at the time, and how Eminem came up with his name was he took his initials M and M and just kind of, you know, phoneticized it, M and M, Eminem. So I tried that with my initials, which got me to a sort of very strange word that really wasn't, it didn't make much sense. So I took a few of the characters out, and then I sounded it out, and it became Echo, which, so it really didn't mean anything. It was just a word that sounded cool. And I later learned that there's a League of Legends character also named Echo, spelled the same. And a lot of people thought that I was a League of Legends fan, and that's why I named myself that, but I've never played. But as for Left Field, I came up with that one probably a year later. That was meant to more be, you know, my producer name, Left Field. I'd say it was mostly meant to be sort of a literal adjective, sort of left field, you know, left field music, out of left field, strange, unorthodox, which was, you know, what I've been sort of trying to lean for. However, I have run into issues using that name because there is a electronic duo, a really popular electronic duo from the 90s named Left Field. And when I released my first project, Soft Air, under the name Left Field, I used a shady distribution site, which somehow ended up putting my album on the real Left Field's Apple Music page. And that was a whole ordeal. I got my account banned and all that business. So I figured I should probably choose a different name for my next project. And that's when I started looking for... I spent the next year just trying to come up with something to replace Left Field. And I eventually just landed on The Moths. And frankly, when I landed on that, I wasn't really very happy with it. It was sort of a placeholder name. But I think it's grown on me. I as for what it specifically means, why I came up with it, in the moment, it didn't mean anything in particular. Though I'd say in hindsight, I've sort of attributed a meaning to it in that, I don't know, I think moths are very neat. They're sort of, just in contrast to butterflies, everyone loves butterflies and they're beautiful and they fly around in the daytime and everyone loves butterflies, right? But I feel like moths are sort of underrepresented. They're beautiful creatures, but they're not bright and colorful.
Oh, yeah, you do have a point about moths. I did not even think of that until you said it, but you are definitely right on that part. How could I...
And I have to say, yesterday, right after me and Yaz decided to do this project, he stumbled across a giant dead moth after we decided to be dead moths. So... that seems like a blessing of some sort.
That is so ironic. That is crazy. That is so ironic how we just found one dead like that.
Yeah.
That is crazy.
Seriously, yeah. Also, the dorm room I was living in when I came up with the name The Moths, there was a dead moth on the ceiling. I don't think that had any bearing on my choice to name myself that, but I always thought that was interesting.
Wow, that is so much irony. I mean, now it's official. Now the name is like fate. Like, I think you were supposed to have the name. I mean, those are just two iconic signs. Like, it's so like obvious. It's so like, okay. Like, you just gotta take it.
The name I almost went with instead of the moths was 40 fish. Though, yeah, I don't think fish are quite as elegant as moths.
Yeah. Honestly, 40 fish sounds like a children band or something.
Wiggles cover band.
That's funny. But overall, I'm glad you picked the names that you did. Because I'm going to be honest with you. I actually wanted to segue into that creation. Which, I'm going to be honest with y'all. When they told me that it was y'all's first time, you know, actually using the website, I was like, okay, wow, okay. So I saw that in the forums and I was like, oh, okay. To be honest, I didn't know it was you that I thought it was someone else. I thought you made a website for somebody completely different and I was just gonna be talking to someone else. But I had no idea that you were a part of those groups. So how did you end up making the website for that anyway?
The Moz website? Yeah, I honestly had almost nothing to do with it. I give pretty much all credit to Kavanaugh, you know, a member of Rapad, good friend of mine. He just last week, just out of the blue, just started sending me videos of sort of a website layout he was working on, because he had hosted and created his own website for himself, and he started just building one for me, you know, to showcase a beat store and showcase my discography, which is something I have been wanting for a long time, and in fact, I was just recently attempting something like that, though I have very little experience or knowledge in the area, so I kind of gave up. But fortuitously, Kavanaugh, he just started building me a website out of the blue, and I mean he was running features by me, but it was all
wow.
His doing.
Wow, God, I want to meet that guy so bad. I know it's wrong of me.
Me too. I don't know why we haven't.
You guys got to. Y'all are like
good guy.
Like some of the best. Like, you have no idea, like, how long, like, I wanted, like, to meet you. Like, when I joined Raphead, you were probably one of the most talked about. Because when I went on, I only knew, like, a handful of producers that people, like, talked about. Like, it was Echo, Kavanaugh, Kenny B, Kay Santana. It was those group producers. And I thought, and I didn't think I was gonna meet them. Like, they were, y'all were just like a group that existed just to exist and just to be there. So it was like, I don't know, it was just kind of like,
oh, right. Yeah, I hear you. Shout out to KMB, by the way. But I had that experience too, joining the site. When I came, one of the biggest names was Dom, you know. And I started out just being a fan of his music, just listening to him, and just kind of dreaming one day I could work with him. And he ended up buying my first beat. He was the first sale I ever made, was Dom. He never used that beat, but paid me for it. But I have since, you know, struck up a collaborative partnership with him, and he's gonna be on my new album. Actually, he's gonna be the only feature, but I can definitely relate to that feeling of, I mean, I can just remember the first time I worked with him was crazy. It was like I was producing for like Eminem or something.
Wow, that is completely full circle. I mean, he was the first sale you made. Like, he's one of the people that that you first saw, and now he's a feature. Like, that is a complete full circle. That is crazy. That is full blown. But I mean, that's understandable. Most rap titles usually are prompted by like something, even prompted by like a fan or something. Which I was gonna ask about rap head, because I'm curious. Somebody that's successful as you joined a tiny site. I was actually about to ask like how you made your account, what got you there, but you kind of answered that for me.
Oh, well, I can tell you what specifically got me onto RatPad, how I discovered it. I was probably 2014, 2015. I was 11 or 12, and I was writing rap songs. I wasn't rapping rap songs, but I was writing rap songs, which is how I ended up becoming a producer, actually. It was just to have beats to rap to, or write raps to. But I'd one day was having writer's block and just didn't, I was trying to finish a song, but I really didn't have the energy to finish it. So I just Googled rap lyric generator, and the first result was a RatPad page. I don't know if it's still functioning, but there at least used to be a feature on RatPad where it just generates rap lyrics for you. They're not great, but they're lyrics, I don't know, and they rhyme, and that just kind of, that was my first introduction to the site, and then I saw the forum button, I was like, what's going on over there, and the rest is history.
No, that is, that's crazy, and that you've been there for a long time, too. Like, I'm really curious what, you know, what made you stay, because I realize that it's been a long time. See, you joined January 23rd, 2015, and now this year marks 8 years that you've been there, so congrats on that. What made you, you know, stay and actually, like, keep an account? Like, I'm surprised you haven't gone crazy and, like, completely went off the grid.
I mean, frankly, I have a few times. I was really most active on RatPad 2015 through to 2017, I'd say. And since then, it's more been sort of, I just check in, see what's going on the forums, and I mostly use it to just promote my music or whatever's going on. I remember every year there's threads about how RatPad's dying and how this is it, and how it sucks now, and all the good people are gone, and but that happens every year. Every year people say that, and I've sort of just the past few years been laying back, just kind of watching everything. There's big sections of the forum that, in my mind, are just a sleeping bear I don't feel like poking. It's a bit of a cesspit at times, but I'd say the thing that's kept me coming back is the community that outside of that cesspit. I mean, I've pretty much all the biggest names I've worked with, I met on that site, you know, Love Sag Kid, Dom, Project, etc. And I mean, Kavanaugh, Yaz, Canby, I've met a lot of people who I, you know, consider my friends, and There's always been a, at least an undercurrent of a real strong community of the old RatPad members, I suppose.
Right. Wow, I'm completely jealous. I want to meet those people so bad. Like, I only know you and Kenny B. I want to meet those others. Like, Like, that was the thing, too, and when I heard, like, y'all, that was one of the things that I've always wanted to do, is, like, to meet you, like, to get something, but I'm still a written artist, so, you know, obviously, in my mind, I was like, please, that's not gonna happen. It was like a pipe dream. It was like, you know, some small thing that, you know, I could dream of, but it wasn't gonna, like, really happen.
Well, I mean, I'd say that you're doing This was, I mean, this is the only Rap Pad podcast I know of that's still actively going. I know there was one a while back I was on that Sly was hosting. I'm not sure that's still going though. I mean, I'd say you're holding down a very valuable space, because looking over at all the episodes you've done, I think what you're doing here is really cool, kind of documenting. You're documenting a lot of stories that otherwise wouldn't really have a place to be heard from that website.
Aww, thank you. Aww, I'm blushing right
and
now.
Beyond.
but thank you. Thank you so much. That is a really huge compliment. And to be honest with you, you are not wrong. I am probably the only one. I do know Sly's podcast, because I was angry at him for a period because I was competing with me. But I haven't really seen any episodes in like the last year, so I don't know. I'm not really sure what's going on with that. But regardless, thanks a lot for saying that. That is sweet. But I'm going to move from that dark place. Get it? Did y'all get the joke? I said get away from the dark place. Sorry. I love puns. I know.
We need a button.
I wish I had a sound effect. I wish. Discord, I don't think they have a sound effects bot. Like, if I had one, I could have just put, like, a sound effect. I know, I gotta find one.
Because
that'd be nice to have. Like, it's hard to get people laughing if you don't have a laugh track. So, I definitely have gotta get one. That is one I gotta find. Up in my reminders. But that is funny. I'm not gonna run away from that. It's funny. But anyways, going on from there. Well, besides the tracks and the album with your band, do you have any other goals for this new year? Anything else that you're looking forward to doing in this new year? Anything?
Yeah, since my band is releasing our album on Wednesday, we are planning on spending the summer doing a bunch of live gigs sort of around our hometown, we've never done live gigs before, and we've got a few lined up, and it's definitely something I'm looking forward to.
Oh, I'm so excited for you. I am so excited. I can't wait till you guys do touring. I cannot wait till you guys, you know, get strong enough for, you know, touring, because I would love for you guys to come down here and, like, for y'all to actually tour. That would be really fun. Texas?
Where are you located?
Yes, sir. I'm in H-Town, so I'm hoping y'all, you know, tour in our big city, you know, in the next few years or so. Because it would be really cool to see one of the guests to be touring. Like, that would be so ironic to see you, like, and I'd be like, oh, I remember him, like, that'll be really cool. Nice.
I mean, I'd be into it.
Well, I'll make sure to keep that thought in my head so I don't forget it. And I wanted to ask about, like, where are you based on right now? And I'm sorry, my voice is not working for me. Is the music scene really active where you are at?
No, it is not. There is I'm currently going to school up in Humboldt County, up in Northern California. Though my home is back home in the Bay Area, about an hour or so from the city, from San Francisco. But as for the music scene, it's been kind of disappointing up here. It's we're really curtained in by miles of redwoods, so it's sort of isolated from anything else. All the live shows I've been to around here have been just mediocre metal bands and just nothing too. Nothing's really caught my eye.
That's too bad, though. Music should be more mainstream there. Since it's California, to be honest. Like, I'm shocked. It's California, one of the biggest states in the whole damn country. How could it not be mainstream in a small town like that?
Oh, I'm sure there are adjacent music scenes I'm missing. I can't say I've looked too hard. This area of the state is more so for people who like trees and weed. I'd say back home there's more of a music scene, just since there's a higher population, I guess.
And it's understandable. Oh, look! I found a sound effects bug. Ha! Isn't it? Look at that. Is that wrong? The name's actually
no kidding.
Called Sound Effects.
Beautiful.
Killer.
We're in business.
I'm gonna definitely explore it later. But anyway, back to this. I am really excited for all those future things to happen, definitely. Now let's talk about the picture. Now I want to firstly get into the one that's on Wattpad. I've always wanted to know where that picture came from.
Yeah, my profile picture on Wattpad is the cover art to the... It's the box set art for MF Doom's Special Herbs instrumental albums. MF Doom released, about 9 or 10 beat tapes under the name Metal Fingers, and they're called Special Herbs, and there's a box set of pretty much all of them just in one. And the cover to that is just MF Doom smoking a joint, making a beat, and I took that image and have had that as my profile for 7-8 years now, and not too keen on changing it. I feel it's sort of just what it is now.
That's crazy. It's from MF Doom. God, I love that artist.
Oh, me too. Actually, oh, yeah. Wattpad introduced
Wattpad,
me to
like,
Wattpad.
They were the ones that... I feel like for a lot of people introduced, because there was a lot of rappers I had no idea what the names of until Wattpad said them. So I was like, whoa. Look how many artists they know. It's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I remember like getting into Kendrick Lamar and Kanye West through... they were releasing albums, and I was watching the reaction to it on Wattpad, and that sort of helped usher me into the fan base, I suppose.
Very interesting. Very, very interesting indeed. And another thing that I wanted to ask about, and I swear this is the last question for Wattpad, I'm sorry for asking so much. is the prices that you have, which I'm not buying any, I'm asking about it. So I know you have to pay $40 to borrow it, while $80 for exclusive. So you know, how did you come across the prices, and what's the business side of, you know, making beats, and who's been your worst customer?
Well, the price is pretty much kind of arbitrary. It's just what I feel in the moment is fair, I guess. I started out selling my beats for $1 leases and $5 exclusives. And I've just kind of steadily been working up from that. A big part of it is also gauging supply and demand, you know? Like, if I update my prices to something higher and then no one buys a beat, then I'll take the hint and, you know, lower them. But as for my worst customer, it usually goes smoothly. It's usually just a basic email conversation, though. Sometimes they'll request strange things, like they'll type up a whole legal document themselves that they want me to sign, which I understand in a music deal wanting to have some kind of paperwork involved, but when you're a 15-year-old selling beats through your email, that's a strange hoop to jump through. But as for... I don't want to say my worst customer was... Well, there was the guy who stole my beat and then got really big off it. But I don't know that I'd call him
a
customer.
No way, really? They stole the beat and got profit off it? That's crazy. What did you do?
Well, it was a whole ordeal. It was years ago. I was probably 15, and I had been uploading beats for a few years at that point on my YouTube. And one day, I'm checking my emails, and I see I have a copyright strike on one of my beats. So I go and investigate it, and it says that this beat has been taken down from YouTube because it uses audio from the song Warzone by NFX. And I'd never heard of that song in my life, and I knew I made the song, so I was very confused. And I went and I checked out the song, and it was a Chilean rap song that had, at the time, like 10 million views, and it was using my beat, but I had never heard anything about it. I wasn't credited or anything. So I ended up finding his email through, like, Facebook or something, and then, like, Google translating into Spanish, just essentially, hey, you stole my beat, can I get some money or credit or something? And we had a whole months-long email chain back and forth, which eventually settled on me getting $80 and my name in the title, as well as a link to my channel in the description. Certainly isn't nothing. It's it has led to a substantial influx of Chilean subscribers. Though I can't help but feel like perhaps 23 million views on YouTube has brought in some revenue. That
well,
I have
that
not
is
seen.
Insane. It's gonna take me a bit to get over that. That is insane. Wow. That's one of the craziest things I've ever heard in my life.
Yeah, it's one of the stranger things that's happened to me.
I'm sorry about that. I'm sorry that happened to you. I mean...
Well, I mean, overall, I see it as a definitely positive thing. I mean, I'm proud to have been a part of something that big, and at the end of the day, I think it's a good song.
Very, very true. I do see the positive aspect of that. Definitely, definitely. And at least you're a way bigger artist now, you know, getting all these different sales and, you know, all these different projects. I mean, when that's played into factor, that little thing seems very small.
Sure.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I forgot you were a cipher judge. I remember hearing about that. I forgot you were a cipher judge.
Me really? Too. Until this very moment, actually. Am I still a cipher judge? Like, am I supposed to be
doing something? I know, the last time we had a cipher was February 2020, the last time we had a cipher. I remember because it was COVID, and I submitted a written song for it, I remember.
Right. Right, early COVID, that seems...
They gotta bring that back.
About right to me, yeah.
Of course they are. You get to earn money and see people compete and complain about them. That's fun. There's a lot of things I need to change, like, to be honest. But anyway, and the most helpful, which I'm confused. How do you get the most helpful? I wonder how I get that.
Who gave that to me? That might have been a mod gave it. I mean, only mods can award those. Might have been Fratricide. I feel like I got that just for giving feedback or something.
That's crazy.
On different songs.
And it is Frat because he gave me a trophy too, and all I did was ask him for one. Yes. That post fire as hell.
Shout out to Fred.
Yeah. But, I'm just gonna take a moment to manifest this moment meeting you. I just wanted to, say a huge thank you, for taking the time out to do this and to finally, meeting you. Like, this is massive. Like, I always wanted to meet you, and to now have the chance to do it. Like, thank you so much. I'm really glad.
Oh, absolutely, really glad. Yeah. I mean, I had a
and
great time.
And speaking of being glad, as a plus, the audience will get a chance to hear two songs submitted by you. Do you have anything you wanted to say about the songs that you submitted?
Let me see. Two acoustic performances of mine, songs I wrote. The second song is, I sort of go into a third song towards the end, but that was really just something I did in the moment. I made a few mistakes, but, hell, one take, there you go.
Right, very, very true points. Very true points. And I also wanted to, because I know there's a lot of people watching, what would you say to aspiring musicians, what would you tell them?
That I've had so many points in my quote-unquote career where I thought I lost it, or I thought my best work was behind me. In fact, I feel like that pretty much bi-monthly. It's just sort of a... I guess basically, if you keep on... Like I was saying earlier, allow yourself to make really, really terrible music or really terrible art for whatever you're doing, because eventually something will shine through that shittiness. Something will stick, and because honestly, the only surefire cure for writer's block or creative block I've found is to just keep doing it, you know? Just keep on trying things.
Yes, sir, 100%. Very, very nice advice, and it's even more cool because it's right. I wish I could comment, but he's definitely right, 100%. Cool. So thank you all so much for watching. I hope you guys enjoyed this as much as I did. You can check out all of the links provided for you down below. You can check out Echo Rap Hatters, you know where to find them. You can check the Mods on Instagram, the Mod Music, or you can check Left Fields Beats, YouTube.com at Left Beats, Left Field Beats. And Echo also has a Twitter, which is nice. Echo Hip Hop. Ha. Echo Hip Hop. That's funny. No, not the name. I meant those together. It's ironic. Oh, yes. Go ahead.
Could I plug my Bandcamp real quick? So, themothsmusic.bandcamp.com is my Bandcamp page, and that's where pretty much every single song I've ever made is on there. My entire discography, that's where I put it. So, if you're looking for beats.
Awesome, awesome. Well, thanks for plugging that. That's really, really important. Awesome. Well, thank you all so much for watching. This was an interview dream come true, so this was really amazing. So thank you all so much for watching, and I'll catch you all in the next interviews I do. So enjoy yourselves, be safe, don't do anything dumb, and until next time, love y'all. Peace out. Hello, everybody. Thank you guys so much for joining us tonight as we dove into a wonderful podcast episode. Now, in this following segment, you will get a chance to hear this artist's showcase, because every artist that comes on the show requires to do a showcase. So buckle up, get some popcorn, and enjoy the showcase. I hope you guys love it, and check out the artist when you get a chance too. Hope you guys love it. Enjoy. Thank you.
stage. I've seen this all play out before. I wanna be a dog for a day.
Something like that.